everybody. My name is Kathleen Smith, and I'm a member here at New Hope Church. I'm also a member of the greeter team, and under different circumstances, I would be greeting you with a handshake or a hug or maybe even both. But instead, I have the distinct honor and pleasure of welcoming you today through Cyberworld. While I'm not a great fan of technology, I could not be more grateful for it now because I can't think of a place that I need and want to be more connected to than New Hope Church and everybody here. So I invite you to sit back and put your feet up if you want to and enjoy this new series that Rusty's starting today called Relationship Realities. I'd also encourage you to invite a friend or a family member, whether they're in a different room or in a different state. Send them a text or an email and think of this as a time that is so cool in modern technology that we can actually, while we need to be apart physically, can come together now to worship.
see the tomb where he laid, see the stone rolled away. He is risen, he is risen, he's alive. See his hands, see his feet, see his scars and believe. He is risen, he is risen, he's alive. Oh, he's alive. He lives. All honor and power are his. All glory forever. Amen. Jesus lives. Hear the shackles breaking free. The song of the redeemed. He is moving, he is moving, he's alive. Take this freedom, take this love. Can you feel it rising up? He is here, he is here, he's alive. And he lives. All honor and power.
What today's lesson will be about.
This will help. Sit down.
Yes, it's better to settle our disagreements quickly and fairly.
When your emotions control your actions, it affects not only yourself, but the people around you.
You don't know how to make people like you, and you find yourself holding a grudge against them.
That sort of behavior we call an infantile reaction.
They know that courtesy means showing respect, thinking of the other person, real friendliness.
Often, as we play or work together, we have to compromise to settle some of our disputes.
Part of one's personality isn't growing up with the rest.
Maybe it's just that you don't know how to use social courtesy.
This is pretty clever.
The greatest command we're given in the Bible is to love God and love others. In this series, we'll look at how to learn to really love others the way God intended and how He will help us when we do. This week, move over the root of relationship conflicts.
Hey everyone, I'm so glad we can be together today. I miss being able to be physically with each other, but while we are fighting this COVID-19, we need to do our very best to help limit the impact of it. And by our keeping this physical distancing, we're going to be literally saving lives. So for a while we do this, we're going to make the most of it. If you are new to New Hope, if you've joined us recently, or maybe this is your first time, we'd love to get to know you and help you stay in the loop with what's going on. You can let our host know through the chat feature. Let them know your name, how we can best contact you or keep you connected. For instance, we have some initiatives that we're doing to help make an impact in our community. We're doing this thing called the Snack Pack Attack. We're working with the local food bank, Lorton Community Action Center. We're collecting the items right now, and then soon, probably next week, we'll be putting together volunteers in the proper format and all that for the physical distancing. But to put those snack packs together, there has been a huge increase in the need for food and meals for families and kids in our area. So we're doing everything we can to help with that. So anyway, let us know. Also, we're going to be occasionally asking you for some feedback through the chat. And I'm going to remind you of this again, but if there is an issue you'd like for us to address, in this case, we're going to be looking at a series on relationships. If there's something about relationships you'd like for us to address, let the host know. And what we'll do is do our very best to answer that and address it during this series. Prior to the COVID-19, our team had gotten together and planned on doing this series following Easter on the realities of relationships. They're not set it and forget it. And we want to do everything we can. The Bible speaks a lot about relationships with God, with each other. And so we had already planned this, and I think the timing has been, well, it actually couldn't have been any better given the circumstances people are in. Before I get into the message, why don't we pray together? God, thank you again for the technology that allows us to meet, and for everyone that is tuning in, individually or with friends and family. I pray that you would speak to us today, that you would give us a sense of the reality of your presence, that you would help us to see things the way you do, and to see them in a way that is in light of your resources. The Bible says that you love us, you want a relationship with us, and there's some listening that know you and some that don't. But I do pray, Father, that today you will speak to all of us and that we'll hear your voice, that we will trust you, and that we will move forward with you. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, let me just mention to start this series off with this. God created you and me to have and enjoy close fellowship and friendship with others. This is a difference between human beings and other created entities in the world. We do see among animals, we do see some relationships and all that, but there is a difference in human beings. We were designed to be connected with each other. It's part of our being created in God's image. The Bible says that God so much wanted us to have this relationship with him that he created us uniquely in his image to reflect those kinds of things. Listen to what it says here in Romans 12. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. There's something about this that I'm sure all of us, we kind of resonate. We think, well, I'd like to be part of a community where that's true. I'd like my family to be that way or my workplace. So this is, it's the way God wired you and me, where we're closely connected to Him, to each other, and that there's something about that is so life-giving. But we've got some struggles with that. Even in the best of circumstances, relationships are very fragile. Things happen, things fall apart. We see glimpses of real good, and then we see the brokenness. We talked about this last week for Easter, that we live in a world that has both beauty and brokenness, where there's this sense of dignity that you and I carry, but there's also this kind of depravity that lives within us. So we see some phenomenal things where people make sacrificial efforts to help others. And then we turn around and we see others using people for their own advantage. This problem has gotten worse, and maybe the problem's not worse, but it's showing up much more. An article in Psychology Today for April 8th, it says that there's been research done about the impact on relationships and families when natural disasters happen. The Journal of Family Psychology is published in this article. And they talk about, after Hurricane Hugo, the significant number of couples filing for divorce following that. The other studies have shown, there's a recent article in Slate that has shown that since Andrew, Katrina, Harvey, some other natural disasters, in this case hurricanes, that the divorce rate in some areas doubled. It's there's a pressure that's put on relationships when we go through struggles like this and trauma. In China, they are weeks ahead of us, in some cases maybe months ahead of us, in the impact of COVID-19. But applications for divorce in China have skyrocketed. And we're going to be seeing that more than likely here in the United States, where their people have found their relationships to be under such pressure. This is for marriages that they just aren't going to go any further. We see domestic violence increasing. We're seeing all kind of struggles in homes that people are struggling with and fighting, and families are battling with this. One of the things that happens is we end up in this physical distancing. We're spending so much more time together. And, you know, there was kind of a joke that was going on. A woman was saying before her husband retired and he was looking at retirement, she goes, look, I married him so we could have breakfast and dinner. I wasn't planning on having lunch with him. In other words, you're used to having time apart. And when we end up having this time where we're crunched together and we're limited, it shows vulnerabilities and weaknesses in our relationships. We see it with families. We see it with parents and kids. We see a number of teenagers now that have become nocturnal. They just want to kind of stay away and be isolated and not micromanaged by their parents. So what they'll do is they'll sleep during the day and stay up all night. There are some issues that came up in this Psychology Today article. It says this about families. It said that some of the changes that happen when we're all of a sudden now are with each other 24/7. There's anxiety about health, there's potential unemployment, financial insecurity, there's caregiving for elderly parents, and in the case where you can't be with your elderly parents, Becky and I, both of our moms are in nursing care facilities. We're not able to see them. Becky's mom's facility has had a number of COVID-19 positives there. She is fine right now, but we're trying to figure out, what do we do? How can we help? We can't go there. Is there a way for us to bring her here to our house? So there's some issues here that are creating stress and things we really need to look at. Friendships and connections that we had outside of our home now have been somewhat limited. People are juggling childcare and managing chores, and there's a general uncertainty about what the future is going to be like and how long the direct impact of COVID-19 will be. And then, will there be a vaccine? When will it happen? Are we going to get back to life as normal? What's it going to be like? And so all these vulnerabilities create stresses for us. And you add our own human dynamics to that. And boy, it's a recipe for difficulty. And this is where we are. We're seeing it over and over and over again. There's also a loneliness epidemic among people that don't have family. They're locked away in their own place to be kept safe and not to infect someone else. And now they're isolated. And that isolation has a huge cost to it. So when our relationships are messed up, it takes a really heavy toll on us. We hear about this evidence of this every day, where there are tensions in homes, there are arguments, there's domestic disputes and violence. You add to that the increase in alcohol and drug use, and it just puts it on steroids. There's a mental health crisis going on, and people that are manning the hotlines for mental health and suicide have been inundated. I'm convinced that the circumstances we're in are not going to change anytime soon. This virus has got such deadly potential that life as we have it right now, where there's the social distancing and being physically apart from each other, is going to continue probably throughout the summer. And we need to recognize that. We need to not just grit our teeth and hope that soon it'll be over, but we need to figure out, so what do we need to do now? And research has shown, and you can do all kinds of studies about this, research has shown that there is a key variable that carries the most influence in you and I having healthy relationships now. And they've done all kinds of research on this, so this is not just one study. You know, we're hearing a lot right now about economic relief and providing resources for people that are out of work or temporarily unemployed. That's a huge help for people to be able to have a way to have some resources. And I'm grateful that our government decided to provide the stimulus checks and the PPP through the Small Business Association to try to help these businesses that are really, really on the edge. It's important to do that. It's good to have these tools. You can go to the Mayo Clinic. There are other websites that have all kind of great resources to kind of help. How do you create kind of a normal pattern at home? How do you come up with ways to be physically active and healthy? How do you deal with issues that come up? And you know, they're all kind of strategies. These things are really important. And I think having those tools is valuable, but they don't really address this key factor. There is this one factor that makes all the difference in the world. And in this series, we're going to uncover ways and look for ways to unlock the potential of this one factor in my relationships and yours. And when we discover its potential, it could transform the relationships you and I are in. Now, before I tell you what it is, let me just say this. You probably are like me, and you get a lot of funky emails, spam ads about these promises. You'll see this on websites, and they'll get you to go somewhere, and it's a promise to give you miraculous, almost immediate results for things. It could be about your weight. It could be your hair, your skin. It could be toenail fungus. It could be to create a brand new personality, and you're going to be emotionally just a rock star. It's going to transform your friendships. And this miraculous result is by this simple secret that all you have to do is go to this one, you click on this one site, and for $19.95, they're going to tell you the secret. Now, part of the secret is it's going to be $19.95 for months and months and months. And after a while, and we're not going to, I don't want any raising of hands, but a lot of us have tried this stuff, and we found out that, that simple fix, first of all, it's not that simple, and second, it is not free. And the $19.95 always grows into something more. We're gullible for this. We like simple fixes. The factor that I want us to look at today as we finish out this message, it is guaranteed to unlock the potential of my relationships and yours. It cannot be bought. It is something that we have within our control. And it starts with understanding something that if we're not careful, we can easily miss, and we get duped into thinking that it's not that important. This one variable that makes all the difference in this key factor is simply me and you. You can go look in the mirror, and there you're going to see this is the key factor that's going to determine how my relationships go. It's the one that I have control over. It's the one that I have direct influence on. And if we're not careful, what we do is we're constantly looking in our relationships to find something else, someone else. Who's at fault? External circumstances are creating the problem. But I want to tell you, if you and I will handle this and look at it, we're going to see that the key factor that really makes the bulk of the difference in our relationships is you and me. Listen to what the Bible says. It says this in James 4. We had just done this recently, but I want to repeat. It says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? It's the Republicans. It's the Democrats. No. Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? There's this battle that goes on with you and me. And the Bible says these are evil desires because they're not loving. And that's what's causing the quarrels and fights that we're in our homes, in our work, in our neighborhoods. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want. Listen to this. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Now listen to this. This is not saying that all the relationship issues that you and I have and the problems are our fault. Neither are all the good things going on on us too. But the problems in our relationships, the key way to attack those is going to come from me looking at my own self. I need to look at what part am I playing in this? Because I can only take charge. I can only control how I respond, how I react, how I move, what I do. It's a matter of me making good, honorable, loving choices. And when I do, I can impact even some of the worst relationships I'm in. The Bible tells me, though, that I've got a problem. Listen to Isaiah 53:6. It says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. We said earlier, God's designed you and me to have close personal relationships with him and with people around us. And we look at it and sometimes we see glimmers of goodness and we see things that are wonderful. In fact, some of you have told me that this being kind of self-quarantined, this physical distancing, being more at home, it has really caused some of your relationships to be sweeter. You've enjoyed some time together that you'd missed because you've been so busy. I'm really grateful for that. Others have seen some other things. They've seen the pressure bring out some things that were already tentative. And now they're worse. And I want to try to explain how this works and what this problem is and then how we address it. Because if it begins with me, now I've got to figure out what am I going to do about me? And what is there an answer here that gives me help? Or am I just in this deep, dark hole that I'll never get out of? So let me use this diagram. And as you noticed last week, my artwork is somewhat suspect. But I believe I can get this across. So when the Bible talks about this, it says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We've all left God's path to follow our own. This is what the Bible says, is that you and I, on our own, are pretty messed up inside. There's some good things in us. We're created in God's image. So there's some dignity, there's some beauty in us. But the truth is that the problems in our relationships, the problems in the world can be brought back to you and me individually. We create them. There's a problem with us. There's brokenness in us. And that brokenness infects everything around us, including our relationships. And so we're kind of, this is a mess we're in. And we looked at this last week, that what God did when he sent Jesus was he wanted to attack the problem. He didn't send stimulus checks. He didn't send college admission guarantees. What he did is he wanted to change you and me from the inside out, because what we needed was forgiveness. We needed our sin problem dealt with. So I want to read this verse to you again from Isaiah 53:6. I want to read the rest of it. It says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. That we are sinful, we're broken. It goes on to say, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. That's why when we look at the cross, what we see is that Jesus came to take our place and to pay the penalty for our sin. And if we accept him, if we just admit that we're sinful, we're broken, we've gone our own way, we believe that his death on the cross was to provide us what we needed, forgiveness and hope, and we choose to follow him, this is what happens. We accept Jesus, and we come into a brand new life. And this is what the new life looks like. We now have his Holy Spirit living in us. We now have something brand new. We have a new resource in our life. We still have a lot of this. I've still got my old broken ways of making decisions, my self-centeredness, my wanting things the way I want it when I want it. But I have God's Holy Spirit living in me. Everyone that has accepted Jesus has God's Spirit. And what happens is God's Holy Spirit is beginning to make changes in me and to reorient me, not changing externals, but changing me from the inside out. And as time goes on, as I grow in my faith, as I get to know God better, and I let him have more influence in my life, what happens is the Holy Spirit begins to be more of an influence in my life. And what this means is I'm becoming more and more like God's son, Jesus, my model, my role model. And as time goes on, more and more, I'm growing. I'm developing. This is God's intent. He wants us to continue to grow and to learn and become more and more the person he intends us to be. And there's something about this Holy Spirit that I want you to get. And it fits so much into this idea of relationships. This is what God's Spirit wants to do within you and me. And remember, the moment you accept Jesus, you have God's Spirit living in you. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now I'm going to read these again, and I want you to think about the relationships you're currently in. At home, at work, in your neighborhood, extended family. And I want you to think about how these resources could change how you relate to other people. Because not they've changed, because you are changing, because you now have God's Holy Spirit, God's power to love and to care for others, building and growing inside of you. Listen, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The moment you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we now have God's Spirit and God's resources living within us. And as we allow him to, we can begin experiencing these changes that he wants. And these changes are not based on what happens to me externally. They're based on what's going on internally with me as I'm building this new life, living this new life with God's power living within me. And I've thought about this for a while. I was trying to think of a way to illustrate how this works. And there's a movie called As Good As It Gets. It's got Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt in it. I'm not going to recommend the movie because there's a lot of foulness in it, and it's got some gross stuff and all that. But there's some points in the movie that are pretty powerful. Jack Nicholson is one of these guys that, he is just a mess. He's mean-spirited. He's self-centered. He's completely obsessed with himself. And then he meets Helen Hunt, and she is genuinely a good single mom. She loves her son, trying to do what is right. She's a hard worker, and he just is enamored. He's puzzled by her, and he's enamored by her. And as time goes on, this self-centered guy realizes he's fallen in love. He's trying to figure out what to do, and he is really, really messed up so many times along the way. And in this scene, I want you to see, it's him trying to connect with Helen Hunt. He's offended her horribly, just his normal way of living. But then he makes a statement to her when she asks him a question, and that statement is It's really about, it gets to the heart of you and me and our relationship with Jesus. Let's watch this clip and we'll be back together in just a moment.
You have no idea how much what you just said hurt my feelings.
The moment someone gets that they need you, they threaten to walk out.
A compliment is something nice about somebody else.
This is a request from June.
And now or never.
Okay.
Happy anniversary.
And mean it.
Can we order first?
Okay.
Two hard shell crab dinners, pitcher ice cold beer, baked or fries.
Fries.
One baked, one fried.
I'll tell your waiter.
Waiter. Okay. Now, I got a real great compliment for you, and it's true.
I'm so afraid you're about to say something awful.
Don't be pessimistic. It's not your style. Okay. Here I go. It's clearly a mistake. I've got this, what, ailment. My doctor, a shrink that I used to go to all the time, he says that in 50 or 60% of the cases, a pill really helps. I hate pills. Very dangerous thing, pills. Hate. I'm using the word hate here about pills. Hate. My compliment is, that night when you came over and told me that you would never... All right, well, you were there. You know what you said. Well, my compliment to you is, the next morning, I started taking the pills.
I don't quite get how that's a compliment for me.
You make me want to be a better man.
That's maybe the best compliment of my life.
Well, maybe I overshot a little because I was aiming it just enough to keep you from walking out.
What he says to her is this: you make me want to be a better man. He realizes just how wonderful she is, how much he wants to be related to her. And he is expressing what his intentions are and the impact of her life on him. You and I that really do understand what Jesus did for us, forgiving us, wiping the slate clean at such a huge expense so that we could be forgiven and whole. When we realize what he did on the cross, our response should be, God, you make me want to be a better person, a better man, a better woman, a better child. And it's not just on our own self-effort now. We now have his Holy Spirit living in us. It's a choice that we make to cooperate with his Spirit. And when we do, we're saying, God, I want to be, out of just sheer gratitude for all you've done for me, I want to be your man, your woman, your child. I'm surrendering to you all that I am so that you can have free reign in my life. And so your Holy Spirit continues to develop and grow and influence me because I want to be a better person out of just sheer gratitude and thanks for all you've done for me. And this kind of humble attitude leads us to a point where we begin to see God really working. Remember, the number one factor in relationships that you and I have control over is ourselves. And when we give him free rein, when we let him work in our lives, he will change us. And as a result, change the people around us. What I'd like to do is for us to pray together now. I'd like you to think about where you are and what you'd like God to do. And let me pray for us. Father, many of us are under huge pressure. Some of us are battling with all kind of guilt and shame over the way we've responded, how we've let the pressure build up and where we've really messed up. And some of us are really concerned about the health of our loved ones and ourselves. Some of us are just terrified about what the future could hold with our work and our finances. We don't know what is going to happen. This uncertainty just is causing us to really be afraid. Some of us have been using poor choices in dealing with our anxiety and our fear and our anger, whether it's been alcohol or drugs or just incessant gaming or hiding. Some of us are on the front lines, and some of our front lines people are facing every day the cost of putting themselves in harm's way to help others. They're also isolated from their family because they don't want to take a risk on harming them. There are some of us that are grieving the loss of loved ones around us, and we can't be there to comfort them or to mourn them. And there's some of us that are lonely, and it just feels crushing. And God, in the midst of this, we've just celebrated Easter. We know that you sent your Son to rescue us and to save us, and that you didn't do that for some time way down the future. You did it right now. You want us to know without a doubt that you love us, that you care about us. And if we will open our hands and our hearts to you, you will take care of us. And even if our outward circumstances don't change, you have never been limited by outside resources. You have given us your Holy Spirit, and we pray that you would help us to listen, to allow him to have free reign and access in our lives, and that we would continue day to day, moment by moment, trusting you to care for us and to carry us through. Help us to love you and to be devoted enough to you to learn how we can love others and to love them well, not waiting for them to love us, but taking the initiative just like you have for us. We ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In just a moment, our band is going to come and lead us to close out our worship service. Let me just mention a handful of things one more time. Please let our host know how we can help you. We'd love to stay connected with you. If you just let the host know your name and best way to stay connected, we'll not hound you with things, but we really want to make sure that we're all engaged and stay on top of things. Remember to, if you have an idea of something to address in this series, please let us know. We'll do our best to address it. And next week, we're going to be looking at how to build genuineness and honesty in our relationships to where we can really be real with each other and take down the barriers that so often hide us from each other. You guys hang in there. We'll keep you posted on things that are happening. Let's continue with our worship now.